Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Johnny Lazarus is in studio right now, tremendous hockey analyst, and he's had a crazy rise in this business, and you could catch him with the NHL and the Daily Faceoff as well. And last night, the Edmonton Oilers, you know, you could play that pink pony club, Wayne Gretzky will explain to you all that stuff, what it means, but he joins us right now as the Oilers are up 1-0 in the Stanley Cup Final. Johnny, how you been?
Well, I'm good. I got to make sure you know Mike and Ike's next to you, though, because last time I was in here, you threw one right at my face. I don't know if you still remember that, but
I do.
That threw me off guard.
So that was Josh Hart, because he revealed that he was a big Mike and Ike's fan. So I guess they had some sponsorship dealer at the station, and we had so many Mike and Ike. And I said to Johnny, let's predict who's going to meet in the Stanley Cup Final. And I threw him like a lob for the Western Conference, and then I wanted the Rangers to defeat the Panthers. So he goes, oh, I think the Panthers are going to win. And then it was, oh, well, if you catch it, then that determines if your prediction's going to come true or not. And I threw that Mike and Ike as if I was Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And you were just Travis Kelce, and I didn't want you to catch
dodge me by that much right there.
Yeah, well, I have really good accuracy, so it was intentional.
Well, it's good now, to see you again.
Yeah, great to see you as well. If I hit you right in the head there, you could talk to my lawyers and settle that out. What was your biggest takeaway from last night?
As good as the Oilers played last night, and granted, like, they've proved me wrong round after round after round. I counted them out after game 2 against LA, as most people did when you watched those first 2 games.
Yeah.
But they dominated, I thought, for the most part, outside the second period, and Florida still got them to overtime. You know, so when Florida's at their game a little bit more going forward in the series, it's going to be tough for Edmonton, and I don't want to take any credit away because the Oilers were phenomenal last night. I thought McDavid and Draisaitl were dominant. Kasperi Kapanen was great. Stuart Skinner made some big saves. The defense was good. Jake Walman had a great game on defense. The power play came up big as well. But again, like, Florida wasn't at their best.
Yeah.
4-3, almost double overtime.
And that's the thing. You look, and I know the Maple Leafs have their own problems, obviously, that are well documented. But this Panthers team was down 2-0.
Yeah.
So if the Panthers go down 2-0 in this series, they could still come on back and win this series. Heck, last year we saw the Oilers down 3-0, almost come on back and win 4 games. But I look at it, it's one win. It's a win that the Oilers need to have. But if the Oilers really want to impress me, they go get this win coming up tomorrow night.
Exactly. I mean, if you're Florida, all you look at in games 1 and games 2 is to find a way to win one. You know, you can look at that game and say, oh, maybe we let this one slip because they were up 3-1, you know, at a certain point, I think the second period of that game.
Yeah.
And then Victor Arvidsson scores a goal through a screen, kind of a squeaky one that you'd like Bobrovsky to have. But I think, honestly, Florida's probably sitting in their room saying, you know what, the better team won tonight. Sure, we had a 3-1 lead. And honestly, it's the first game under Paul Maurice. The record was 31-0 when the Panthers had a lead after any period. Going into any intermission, the Panthers had a lead. They were 31-0, which is crazy.
Like, no.
That's a stat you don't ever hear. And the Edmonton Oilers find a way to win. But again, credit to the Oilers because their third periods all playoff long have been dominant, and they found a way again last night.
Yeah, and going into this series, I kept on saying my gut tells me the Oilers because my gut was just like, is McDavid really going to lose 2 straight Stanley Cup finals? But then my brain is just saying, you can't be this stupid and pick against the Panthers. You've said all throughout the postseason they're the best team in the league, and you won't pick against them until they are eliminated from the playoffs. So I ended up taking the Panthers.
Mm-hmm, me too.
So you were in the same line of thinking with this one.
Hart with the Oilers, head with the Panthers. I think that's most people. Except this time around, with Edmonton having home ice, with Skinner playing as well as he's played over the past 3 rounds, this Oilers team does feel a little bit different, and they haven't really, as good as McDavid and Draisaitl have been, and granted they were
stupid,
unbelievable last night. Those two haven't really carried this team the whole way. Like, they've gotten secondary scoring. Evander Kane missed the whole season. He was healthy. Come playoff time, he's looked great. They lose Zach Hyman. That is a big loss. But Kasperi Kapanen, who I mentioned, comes in last night, or he's come into the lineup, you know, sporadically throughout the series. He has 2 assists last night. Like, they're getting scoring from other people, and the defense has been locked down. Darnell Nurse has been, like, their whole blue line outside of maybe Brett Kulak last night was pretty strong. And Kulak has been good for most of the playoffs. Like, last night's just one of the games that's probably an outlier. Again, but this team just looks like they're more businesslike, where last year it was, you know, up and down emotion, their first time getting there. And honestly, one thing that stands out, and sorry if I'm rambling on here.
Go ahead.
McDavid said in his post-game press conference after game five, like, I forget what the initial question was, and he goes, I don't want to call this boring because it's not boring, but like, there was no smiling. Like, it's almost like, sure, the Kobe job's not done.
You know? Here's the bottom line. When you are that great of a player, and I had the commissioner 3 years ago saying he could be the best hockey player on the planet, right? And that was like a Wayne Gretzky conversation in terms of that. Like, Wayne will always be the face of the game, but I think it was PK Subban who started going down that road. You're defined by how many championships you're going to win. And we all know how great he is, right? He won the Conn Smythe last year. And it was like, all right, that's wonderful, but you didn't win the Stanley Cup. So for him, and also Draisaitl, especially when you play for the Oilers, right, and it was Gretzky and it was Messier, you know what the pressure is. And until you hoist that Stanley Cup, it's almost as if, all right, you're playing, but you're not getting that fulfillment that you need. And once, when they eventually get one, then it's going to be, how many more can you go on and win?
Yeah, and I almost think it's a little bit unfair, honestly. I mean, hockey to me, bias. It's the ultimate team sport.
Sure.
Like, Henrik Lundqvist, to me, still gets the praise despite the... Because he did everything...
Well, here's why I'm laughing. I'm watching last night, and they put Hank on the on the set. Obviously, the TNT set is phenomenal. And every time I see Hank now at the Stanley Cup Final or one of these postseason runs, I go, how the heck did the mother bleeping Rangers not get this guy a Stanley Cup?
But I think that'd be the same case for McDavid. Because he's done everything. I had a huge argument on my show last week because I said McDavid deserves a cup more than any current athlete in sports. Because the guy has done everything humanly possible that he can do for his team to win. And it's and the word deserves got a lot of backlash because no one, I guess, deserves, and I use air quotes, a championship. But he's the best player in the game. He delivers time and time again. But like last year, they couldn't get that one extra goal in game seven.
Sure.
They couldn't get the goaltending the years before. Like, but the guy is performing at he beat a Wayne Gretzky record in the playoff last year. Like,
well, I think you're right in that assessment. Like, I'm just looking at it. Major League Baseball, there's no one on the McDavid level that hasn't won a ring. I know you could say Mike Trout, but Mike Trout is way past his prime. There's been too many injuries. Mm-hmm. NFL, it's Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Nothing against Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Josh
still
Allen,
MVP, Mahomes is still one the winner. Best.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Lamar Jackson's won too. And you look around, there's no one in the NBA that's on the McDavid level that doesn't have a ring. It's not only that, the other comment, they're the best dynamic duo in sport too.
Yeah.
McDavid and Draisaitl. Like, we just did this right before he came on. You got Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, Mahomes and Kelce, but they're not as dominant as they once were.
Mahomes and Kelce, I feel like, might be... Can you put McDavid and Draisaitl ahead of those two?
Well, right now, I'm saying in the year...
Like one game? They're playing one game right now?
In terms of what they accomplish...
No way.
No, because Mahomes and Kelce have won the three rings. Yeah. But if you say a game tomorrow, would I rather have McDavid and Draisaitl in the NHL or would I rather have Mahomes or Kelce in the NFL? I'd rather have McDavid and Draisaitl right now, even without the ring, just for one singular game where they're both currently at in their careers and what it projects into the future.
See, I'd agree with that, but I feel like most...
And I'm an NFL guy.
I feel like most NFL guys be like, oh, you're crazy, man. You're crazy. I guess after this year's Super Bowl, it's a bad taste in your mouth, right?
Well, also, like, Ohtani and Freeman is another one.
Yeah.
Like, Freddie Freeman's batting like 360 right now. Ohtani's Babe frickin' Ruth. But you have two of the top five players in the league.
Yeah.
Like, Travis Kelce, as great as he is not a top five player in the league. You know, all these other guys that I mentioned, you know, Ohtani, Freeman's a different conversation, but it's what McDavid's one. Where do you put Leon Draisaitl in ranking in terms of league?
He's certainly top five. I mean, for me, it's so hard. Like, there are so many good players in this league, and you know, and even when Leon has played without Connor, he's still been good, and that's why you give him like the extra credit. But like for me, it's McDavid, MacKinnon, Makar, Kucherov. Eichel, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Eichel and Draisaitl. I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's a toss-up. But to me, like, those four are locked in, and you can put them in any order. Maybe I'm missing one.
No, those.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
You putting? I didn't have Eichel in there.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's crazy to say. Mm-hmm. Did you say Auston Matthews?
I didn't.
Would you put him in there?
Purposely left him out.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Johnny Lazarus does not like Auston Matthews.
No, I like Auston Matthews.
Hates Auston Matthews.
But I think Eichel over the last 2-3 years has surpassed him as a 200-foot player.
Okay.
That's personal opinion.
So when we continue on with this series, let me get some of the reaction to last night.
Yeah.
Because I know you're a hockey purist.
Yeah.
Right? Is that a
bigger hockey fan than I am a Ranger fan. I have said that time and time
really?
Again.
Really?
Yeah, I love the game.
I know you love the game, but I remember going to playoff games with
you. No, I'm still
you having a tall boy
still
and
a diehard Ranger fan
for the Rangers.
Don't get me wrong. Still a diehard Ranger fan. When they're in it, I don't care about anybody
but
else.
But you don't hide your fandom anymore, right?
I never did.
Oh, I'm just saying, now you don't hide your fandom.
No.
You're not one of those media snobs.
No,
that I can't
stand.
Okay.
No. I'm very biased.
So last night, the goal goes in.
Yeah.
And right and the whole, you had the whole delay of game.
The Bennett play, you're saying?
No. At the end of the game.
Okay.
When Draisaitl scores the game winner.
Overtime. Yeah, yeah.
When you had the delay of game. I'm looking on Twitter last night. So unfortunate that a Stanley Cup final game ends that way. You know, so the delay of game, the rule should just be taken out. The rule's the rule. I don't know what people are freaking out about.
Yeah, I don't know. That one's tough. Like, I still like the rule, to be honest. I mean, in that situation, Thomas Nosek just has to know the situation and try to maybe just keep the puck in play. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the players know exactly what their surroundings are. They know what the rules are. Kind of an unfortunate bounce. Sometimes, like, listen, I had a shot in a roller hockey tournament last week that went 20 feet high. I wasn't putting it there on purpose.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just rolls off your stick the wrong way. But in overtime, in the Stanley Cup final, you got to bear down. You got to make a play. And I think, you know, maybe fans that, I don't know, like, what was the reasoning that you saw?
It was just
like, it's a lame
penalty?
It's just
unfortunate that shouldn't decide a Stanley Cup final. It was stupid what I was reading.
The rules are the rules, again.
But, and I don't know, maybe it's because the way that Twitter is now.
Yeah.
It's like you see one post of something and then you end up just seeing
down
that
a rabbit hole.
Your algorithm. And I must have saw, and it was late, so I was like in a miserable mood anyway, even after a good hockey game. I just wanted to go to bed. But I saw at least 15 tweets of that last night and I go, what are you guys, just parachuting in for the Stanley Cup final?
Pretty much.
Do you know the sport or not?
Yeah, I mean, my opinion on that isn't so strong. Like, that's a simple. Like, the guy made a misjudged play or whatever, you know? It sucks. Bad bounce. You live with it. You move on. And I think Paul Maurice was like, we'll make sure that he's not eating by himself. You know, like, he's been so good for us all playoffs long. He's not going to beat himself up over it. But the hardest part about, like, these playoffs and as a player or, I mean, I never played in the NHL, but I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Players, fans, we all go through it, right? Like, we're only thinking about that play because the puck hasn't dropped for the next game.
Sure.
Once the puck drops for the next game, that play is long gone. Unless it's Tyrese Haliburton and the buzzer beater in game one because I lost the next series.
Oh, man, you're going to bring that up.
I lost in the series. I lost in the series.
So the one thing I'll disagree on that.
Yeah.
So I understand why people say it lost in the series. But I, like, game one was miserable, right? You're up 245 left. You're up 14 points. You got to win the game. I was in the building. And the ball goes up in the air.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah, everyone starts high-fiving.
Oh, God.
And then you look and you see the Pacers running on the on the floor. You go, what the heck? Just the ball.
Did you miss the ball drop?
Yeah.
You missed it?
So I'm in a suite.
Oh.
And the suite that I'm in is behind the basket.
Yeah.
But and you're up, though.
It got lost in the shot clock, probably. No,
the ball goes up in the air. Everyone's like, yeah, yeah. And I'm recording this. And I hear my buddy go, oh, bleep.
Yeah.
And I go, what do you mean, oh, bleep? Because everyone was high-fiving, and I see Haliburton just running out there, and I go, wait, is it a two? Is it a three? Did they just lose the game? And then you'll go to overtime. You end up.
I can't believe you were there.
Yeah. Well, game two, to me, I was actually.
I was at game two.
Just as equally, if not more, annoyed at, because if they go tie up that series at 1-1, all right, you survived the choke. Pascal Siakam is unbelievable. He went off for 39.
Yeah, what do you have, like 19 in the first quarter?
It was 39 points in the game. You know, that to me was the one where that really lost. If you just split there. You have a game seven. Who knows what would happen in seven? But anyway, getting back to the controversy in the NHL, we talk about the idiots with the delay of game tweets. The biggest thing was the Bennett play before we knew how the game was going to end because it was 1-0. Then not only do you get the goal there, then there's the challenge and they get another goal and it changes it from 1-0 to 2-1 in a snap of a finger. I looked at that and if it was my team and I was on the other end of it, I would have been livid, but I thought that it was a toss-up, and how they called it on the ice is what I thought they should have stayed with.
So I originally thought no goal. I texted, like, our show chat. I was like, they're calling this one back. Like, Bennett gets tripped for sure, but I think he milks his way into he milks his way into Skinner, right? Like, and he's a smart player. Like, he's around the crease, he's around the net. Like, this guy knows what he's doing. He's gotten away with so many things, and all credit to him. You know, I used to like kind of defend him. I'm still gonna defend him, honestly, because I what fan wouldn't want that player on your team?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, to me, if Florida wins the cup, I am picking Sam Bennett to win the Conn Smythe.
Yeah,
like, two goals last night, 12th of the playoffs, leads the playoffs in goals, like, incredibly impactful every game. But that goal last night, like, thank God the Oilers won. And again, like, I picked the Panthers last night. Saying thank God the
it
Oilers won.
It doesn't sit there and become a whole day of, exactly. of the whole conversation from the game.
Exactly. So we can move past it. But if the Panthers win that game, not only does that goal stand, it's challenged, and they get a power play for the failed challenge, and Marchand scores in the power play. It's two goals in a however many minute span, and the game flips on its head. But then the Oilers find a way to come back, and thank God they did.
Do you like that rule, that if you lose the challenge, the other team gets the power play?
I don't, to be honest. If I could, like, implement any sort of rule that caters to that a little bit, in college, I know it's changed back and forth a couple times, but when there's a delayed penalty and you score on the delayed penalty, that penalty still goes on the board. So you can score on a 6-on-5 and then still get the 5-on-4. I would rather that than, like, the you get a power play off of a failed challenge. And I don't know if that's necessarily apples to apples.
Yeah, because
I hope you get what I'm saying.
No, the way that I look at it last night, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I think it's different.
Yeah.
But are you, what are you, that was, I thought, a 50-50 call. What, are you not going
to challenge it? Yeah, no, you have to. I would have challenged it too.
Especially when you're going up against Florida, you know how quickly they could turn a game around.
Yeah, I thought it was a good call by Chris Knobloch. And yeah, that's I mean, the challenge by Jim Hiller, everyone talks about it in the first round of the LA series. I think the Oilers scored 10 seconds after the failed challenge, which tied the game. And then Evan Bouchard scores 10 seconds off the faceoff, and the Oilers take the lead, changes the whole series.
Is there any chance, and I know how neck and neck they are, that if the Oilers win the cup, that Draisaitl wins the Conn Smythe and not McDavid this year?
I don't have the stats on the top of my head. I know they're both like mid-20s.
I think they're a difference of 1 point.
I'm assuming Draisaitl has more goals, though.
Yeah, I think
scoring two goals in game one of the final certainly helps him get there. Yeah.
You got to see how the series plays out.
Yeah,
too.
But I would think right now, if you give me Draisaitl's goal total, I don't know what it's at off the top of my head. I just know Bennett's 12. I could certainly see Leon getting it over Connor. But again, like, it'd be a great redemption story if the
Draisaitl has 9 goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Uh-huh. The points are McDavid 28, Draisaitl 27.
And how many goals does McDavid have?
Goals for 5? Connor McDavid, 6.
6, okay.
6.
So
22 assists, jeez.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
9-18 for Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah. I you know what, listen, I'd lean Leon, but I also think if I'm doing NHL PR here,
you want
giving Connor as like the redemption story would be pretty cool.
Yeah. But did you have any problem with him winning the Conn Smythe last year?
That was amazing. No one else deserved it. I thought he was the best player in the playoffs.
Not Bobrovsky?
It could have been Bob. It could have been Barkov.
Yeah.
I thought, if anything, the year prior, obviously injuries, you know, played Florida. But Bobrovsky, if he was deserving of it in any of these 3 years, it was the first year. You know, he came in round one. He didn't even start the playoffs. Alex Lyon started against Boston. And he was lights out. Like, he was dominant. Him, Matthew Tkachuk carried them to the final that year. Last year, more of a team effort. Bob was good. But McDavid, I mean, when you, again, like, this guy, in such a team sport, having an individual perform the way he did, it's just, you can't not reward that.
For the game tomorrow night, who's the player under the most pressure tomorrow night? I'm curious what your answer is going to be on this one.
My initial thought went to Stuart Skinner.
Same.
Did it?
Yeah, because he was slow start last night.
Yeah.
Did heat up as the game did go on.
Mm-hmm. I don't really blame the goals on him, though, to be honest.
Fine, but everyone now says Skinner's much better this year than last year.
Yeah.
You got to go make a statement, especially with what McDavid and Draisaitl did in game number one.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go, not shut out, but really stonewall that Panthers team tomorrow and really take that rope in this series.
Yeah, I agree. Plus, with it going back to Florida, if the Panthers come out and, let's say, win 4-1, 5-1, 3, whatever it is, like, I don't think momentum necessarily shifts from game to game, but when it flips from city to city, I think that's where you see the temperature change a little bit.
By the way, in the hockey community, outside of Paul Bissonnette, I don't think there's a person that people enjoy making more fun of than you. Do you think that's fair?
I think just that's a compliment. Is that a compliment?
No, yeah, man, serious.
I'll take that as a compliment. Yeah.
No, like, did you have a girlfriend now?
Yes, of 2 weeks.
I just saw the Instagram post, and I was reading some of the comments, and I'm like, geez, people are ruthless absolutely ruthless to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I've always welcomed being made fun of. I like to make fun of my friends, too.
Yeah. Do you put on more cologne now since you have the girlfriend? Because the cologne in this studio right now, it's overpowering.
I'm not even wearing it.
Not at all?
Maybe it's the shirt.
Maybe it's the shirt. Overpowering.
Yeah. I just washed the shirt.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what
it was. It's like actually still wet, honestly.
It smells like I'm in an Abercrombie and Fitch, and I have not been in one in 15 years right now.
I don't think I have cologne.
So it's just a shirt.
It's just a shirt.
I don't think, Stu, you don't wear cologne, right? You don't wear any fancy schmancy cologne or anything like that.
But, hey, I'll take it if it's the strong stench.
I'm just saying. Geez.
I got dinner with her mom tonight, so I gotta change the shirt then, I guess, before I go.
You may want to shower.
My first time meeting her.
Doing dinner with the mom tonight. Where are you guys going?
You
could pull out your phone.
Like Marks on Madison, I think.
Oh, Marks off Madison.
Yeah, Marks off Madison.
Good spot. Okay. Good spot.
First time.
I actually, when you, Jake Asman, and I all went out for dinner last year.
Kind of right in that area.
It was, so we went off to Mason Jar. I suggested originally Marks off Madison, but I'm like, oh, we want to watch the game. Yeah. There's not a TV that'll watch the game.
Yeah.
A very good mix of Italian and Jewish food.
Okay.
So.
Will I be judged on what I order? It's my first time meeting the mom.
So I don't know. See, first time there, you don't want to really, like, the lasagna is a signature dish there.
I'm not a lasagna guy.
Oh my God.
Not a lasagna guy.
That's just a terrible
opinion.
Like, maybe the worst.
I don't like, well, it's not like I dislike it. It's just not like my first.
That's like saying Connor McDavid is not the best player in hockey.
You're comparing Connor McDavid to the lasagna?
In my
world, Italian dishes?
Yes.
I think you get destroyed on that one. Penne alla vodka.
I love penne alla vodka. Rigatoni alla vodka.
Yeah, lasagna does not go ahead of that.
Well, lasagna is a big bit on the show because I do not like turkey. So I say all your Thanksgiving suck because you do turkey and we do lasagna in my household.
That's fine.
Yeah, right?
I'm okay with that.
But anyway, the lasagna is really good there. They do an arcetti with sausage. Oh, get the French fry tower. It's not like really romantic or anything, but the French fry tower is very good.
Okay.
I went there with Jake Asman, though.
Yeah,
we were supposed to go there.
Yeah.
And Mike Greenberg goes there all the time from ESPN. Mm-hmm, maybe you'll see him.
Yeah,
I know he's a big hockey fan, right?
Hope he likes cologne.
So who wins game two?
Honestly, I think Edmonton will pull it out again.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Panthers still win the series, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going seven
I had
games.
Panthers in six originally, and I don't...
So in your mind, this is 2-2.
I think 2-2. Oh, yeah, you said it. 2-2. I think Florida takes the one in Edmonton game five, finishes it off in game six.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. All righty. That's be a very Ranger-like, if we're being honest. We've been on the wrong side of that a lot of times.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, honestly, I think that's the... If I'm picking, like, what the hardest game to win in a playoff series is in hockey, maybe not basketball or baseball... If they're best seven, I know NFL.
Game five at home.
Game five at home, I think, is the if it's 2-2.
Yeah,
the home team. I don't know if there's a stat on it, but in my experience watching, the home team rarely wins that game.
Rarely. Okay. At least for us Rangers fans.
Every time, I feel like we lost to the Canes.
Twice.
I guess we were up 3-1 in that series.
Yeah,
Lightning twice, Panthers last year.
Mm-hmm.
Just brutal. There's more down the line, but it's a tough one to win.
So things going well with NHL and Daily Faceoff? All good?
Everything's good.
Anything you want to plug or anything?
Everything's
like that?
Good. Morning Cup of Hockey, 9 a.m. every Monday to Friday during the playoffs on the Daily Faceoff YouTube channel. We got a show tomorrow, obviously. We'll be talking about what's to expect for game two. We'll be back Monday talking about game two, previewing game three. And we'll be there every day till the cup is handed out.
JLazzy23 on Twitter, and his last name is Lazarus, which is my middle name, which is my mother's maiden name, which
ever.
There is no relationship.
Yeah, crazy.
Just being clear, no relationship. I don't have enough cologne to keep up in the family of Johnny Lazarus.
Is that bad?
No. Appreciate you coming on in.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.